Well, we're at the end of another college football week as we roll into week 7 now of the college football season, and I'm joined as always on Friday by David Sears, who has been doing this. Well, David, I think we've been doing this, you and I, for about a year and a half now. So,
roughly.
This is, you know, last year in November, we talked about it yesterday on the program. The big story of the week, one of the big stories, is Auburn being cleared by the NCAA. And last year, it was about, we're about to the time when it broke on, I believe it was November 4th. And you had some choice words about the situation that Auburn was in. How do you feel about Auburn? I mean, they are now cleared, according to college football's governing body, the NCAA, of any violations. How does that make you feel?
Well, you know, Al Capone was a model citizen except for one tax problem he had, because he never had any proven troubles with the law aside from that tax problem. So,
what is what does Al Capone have to do with Auburn?
I'm just saying. I mean, we all know how big a crook Al Capone really was in real life, so just saying. Just because you're proven innocent doesn't necessarily mean you're innocent. I think this was more a selling of the soul of the NCAA. They realized that they're on the verge of losing their two big revenue streams, which is college football and college basketball. If we get these two, or these four 16-team super conferences, they'll realize, you know, we control all the power.
Yeah.
So we can control the purse strings, and we could go form our own little league and not have to worry about the NCAA and revenue sharing with the likes of Boise State.
So you think
and
the NCAA's ruling on Auburn is contrived, and it was born of ill intent? You don't look at it for face value?
I don't look at it for face value at all. I also think that we will see Ohio State not get hit with that severe sanctions. They'll just deal with the player suspensions, the vacation of the 2010 season, the firing / resigning of Jim Tressel. I think we'll see some more wrist slapping from the Willie Lyle situation with Oregon and LSU. I don't think we will see many big punishments come down, because Emmert realizes that if he starts messing with these big name conferences too much, they have so much power now with all their multi-billion dollar TV deals that they can realize, you know what, we can form our own area and just completely cut the NCAA out and just divide the revenue among 64 schools instead of having to share it with people in the WAC or Mountain West or even the Big East. I mean,
yeah,
outside of basketball, the Big East doesn't really bring anything to the BCS.
No.
The last time I checked, the BCS was a football league, and football right now has potential if they were to form a playoffs among those big four conferences, the four 16-team conferences. They could sell the money. They could sell that and make ridiculous amounts of money on that. So I am one of the ilk that the NCAA is afraid right now, and they're trying to prevent the loss of more revenue.
Don't you think they have to slam Ohio State though? I mean, you look at this, what they did with Jim Tressel and everything. It's just hard for me to see the NCAA being to have a straight face. And I know they do it every week, so I mean, it's not going to be big news if the NCAA lied. But after not punishing Ohio State severely after what they've done, I just think that at that point it would be complete anarchy.
Well, I think we're getting to the point of complete anarchy. We've kind of seen a move towards this with Sly's suggestion of bull scholarships, paying for all things college, going back to a monthly stipend along with living expenses and everything else. And he said, you know, not every school can be able to afford this. I mean, some schools don't really need to be a Division I athletics. I mean, let's face it, Troy, UAB, USA, Boise State, the Idaho Vandals, they don't really need to be a Division I program, and everyone's chasing the big dollar, but when you have schools like UConn who lost money going to the Fiesta Bowl because they were unable to sell all their tickets, and you have schools, I believe it was Stanford, wasn't able to sell all their tickets when they went to the Orange Bowl 2 years ago, it's going to get to where it's too expensive for some schools to compete on a Division I level, and if they add extra expenses, well, they'll either have to cut programs to make up the budget deficit, or they'll have to just go back down to 1AA and play 1A basketball and 1AA football.
Yep, that's a great point. Everything you've said is right on, and the bottom line this week is Auburn was cleared by the NCAA, regardless of how hypocritical the NCAA may look. They were found with no violations in the recruitment of Cam Newton, and the four players who went on HBO claiming that they received extra inducements and benefits. And I think it's a good week for Auburn, and I think Auburn should be allowed to enjoy their national championship without being harassed by Alabama fans. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, celebrate it. You have been found not guilty. Al Capone was not guilty of anything other than tax fraud. O.J. Simpson was not guilty of murder. I mean, sure, there are plenty of people that are not guilty that are really guilty. So we'll find out. I mean, they say the investigation's not open, that it's not closed, that if any new evidence comes to light, they'll continue to investigate it.
I'm sorry. There's no new information on this.
I doubt they'll do anything with that.
No.
But it's an interesting situation. Auburn should feel fine. I doubt they will have any new allegations come. When you cover your bases by dealing in cash, it's really hard to find a money trail, and it's a smart way to do it, and I think Auburn was very smart in the way they did it, and I don't think it'll ever be proven. And
the only thing I will say about this, if you know, Auburn has maintained innocence from the beginning. They've always said they haven't done it. And today I was out and about, and I see all these Auburn fans with national championship shirts coming out of the woodwork, and I'm like, folks, don't act like you just won it again when you have maintained innocence the entire time. You said from the beginning that Cam did nothing wrong.
It may be another national championship victory for Auburn.
Yeah.
So, and I know you've got all these people out there that are saying, "Oh, it's a shame that Auburn had to deal with all of this, and it's not right that people jump to conclusions." And
well, after Reggie Bush, it had to be. Yeah.
How will we ever repair Auburn's reputation? And I'm like, you know what? You snuck one by the NCAA. You were able to whitewash everything. I mean, I think there's corruption going on at all of the major programs in the SEC and in the NCAA, and I think they've just gotten so much better at cheating nowadays, it's harder for the NCAA staff to do anything and to find anything. Unless it's someone like a Dan Wetzel or who was the other one? Pete Samuel. Charles Robinson. Unless they turn something
He's like up. Darth Vader. I mean, you just do not want to see him coming to campus.
It's a bad sign to see either Wetzel or Robinson headed towards your campus.
Well, Sears, I think everyone knows now how you stand on this. I think you echo the sentiments of a lot of Alabama fans who just will not buy, no matter what the NCAA says or anybody says, that Auburn had this championship. So that's the way it is. That's just the way it is in the Iron Bowl. It's never going to end. That's the way it's been for 100 years. So I think it's best to just move on. Well, let's quickly run over some matchups this weekend that might be interesting. I want to get your thoughts on those. Let's start outside the SEC. Michigan at Michigan State. Wolverines lost this one big last year to the Spartans, but they're undefeated this year, and Denard Robinson seems to be doing a good job leading that team. Who wins this game?
I still like Sparty to be the dark horse for the Big Ten. I think this is where Michigan gets their first loss. I just have a feeling that Sparty will be able to win in East Lansing and be able to actually play a decent defense against Denard Robinson. I don't think he's faced a decent defense all year. This has allowed him to put up his big stats, and I think it's a false inflation of stats. I don't really think he's as good a player as his stats lead to be. We will see, though, a very awesome game. I think it will be a high-scoring game, but I don't see Michigan coming out on top.
Let's move down to the SEC. A lot of drama took place this week, and it had nothing to do with Auburn. It was with South Carolina. And, of course, Steve Spurrier is now well-documented. If you haven't found it on YouTube yet, it wouldn't be hard to find. He ranted and raved on a reporter from the state newspaper there in South Carolina. And he also, the same day, dismissed, under the cover of that episode, Stephen Garcia, the starting quarterback that has been really unimpressive his entire career at South Carolina. Now Connor Shaw is completely at the reins. He did well against Kentucky last week, albeit it was Kentucky. But this week they go to Starkville. It could be an interesting matchup for the old ball coach and a very needed win for him. South Carolina, Mississippi State. How do you see this one?
I think Connor Shaw will show people that, you know what, he should have been playing all along. He had that rough start against ECU, and I think Spurrier panicked and put in Steven Garcia instead of letting Shaw lead the team to victory. I think Shaw will do well there. The defense of South Carolina is good enough to force Ralph into throwing bad passes, and then they eventually having to pull Ralph and put in Favre. And I don't see Mississippi State. I think they're starting to unravel at the seams, and I think Dan Mullen's eyeing an escape to Arizona, where his old AD is looking to get a new head coach after he fired Mike Duke. Wow. So I think this may be a huge just throwaway season for Mississippi State after having such high expectations. And I expect South Carolina to win about 35 to 10 or 38 to 13, something along those lines.
So you've made some interesting coaching calls. You've said that Kirby Smart will be the head coach at Georgia next year, now saying there's a good chance Dan Mullen could be at Arizona. I think you're right. Greg Burns out there, it could definitely happen. LSU at Tennessee and Oklahoma State at Texas. Both teams, LSU and Oklahoma State, are undefeated. Either one of these teams have a chance of an upset this week, or are both of these orange UT teams just rolled over?
If Peyton Manning was playing for Tennessee, I still would favor LSU. I don't see Tennessee being able to do anything. They're missing their top receiver, and they're missing their best quarterback. They've not looked that great offensively since Bray's gone down. I know it's only been one game, but he wasn't really doing that well against Georgia. They played two quality teams in Florida and Georgia, and they have, I think, scored a grand total of 25 points against those two teams, so that's not a good thing. And we saw what happens when the Texas defense that everyone was saying, oh, it's back, it's doing so much better now. Well, you know what? When you go up against an offensive juggernaut like Oklahoma, you're going to get exposed, yeah. And they got exposed big time, and their quarterback play was not that great. Oklahoma State has just as good an offense, if not better, than Oklahoma, so I expect another big scoring game for the Oklahoma State Cowboys, and I don't think Texas will be able to keep up. I think both UT teams will go down big this weekend.
I agree. I completely agree. How about Florida on the road at Auburn? Florida missing everything, really, as far as being able to compete well right now after being bludgeoned by Alabama and LSU in back-to-back weeks. Now they travel to Auburn on the Plains. It's going to be a tough out for the Gators. Auburn, though, needs this win after the 38-14 thumping they took at Arkansas last week. Does Auburn get the win?
I'm going to pick Auburn in a slight victory, but I don't see this going well if Auburn allows Vince to get and Rainey just to get outside and run wild. If Auburn's defense doesn't come to play, then they will be in huge trouble. I think Florida's defense is good enough to make Auburn a one-dimensional team. We're seeing them try to go more to Kyle Frazier, who threw two picks last week. I think one of them was in the red zone, and it was a key moment. So I think Florida can make this a big game, but I like Auburn by three. Give me a 24-21 Auburn.
Before we get to our upset special of the week, as we did last week and we'll do continually with segment with Sears, I want to get your thoughts on Alabama. Of course, they don't have a big opponent this weekend, but you're the Alabama insider for the program here. They are on the road at Oxford, Mississippi. It should be no problem, especially considering Ole Miss had four key players suspended for this game. What happens in Oxford? Anything significant?
Well, I want to see Alabama come out and start the game with authority. They kind of lackadaisically started against Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt missed two field goals. It should have been 7-6 at the half. But then Alabama's defense was able to tighten up when they needed to and prevent Vanderbilt from scoring. That offense finally got into rhythm that second half. Ole Miss's rush defense is one of the worst in the nation. They're giving up almost 200 yards a game rushing. I think we'll see Kurt Richardson have a big day. I don't think Eddie Lacy will come back just because there's no need to risk him in a game that really should be able to win with just Richardson and Jelson Fowler. And I really like Alabama big. I'm definitely thinking that they break the 40 threshold. I like Alabama 45-3 over Ole Miss.
My upset of the week, I'm going to go with the team you just talked a little bit about. Vanderbilt is at home against Georgia this week, and I do think Georgia had a nice, impressive win in Knoxville last week, but I still am not sold on this Georgia team. I think Mark Richt has, in a way, turned the corner a little bit with Ole Miss and Mississippi State and Tennessee wins in a row, but still, those are not great wins. I was really impressed in the South Carolina game, even though they lost 21-3 when Vanderbilt played really good defense against South Carolina. Of course, the 30-7 beatdown of Ole Miss, and I know they lost 34-0, but I like some things that they did last week against Alabama. They're very assignment sound on defense. This is at home. Now, I know Vanderbilt doesn't have a tremendous home field advantage, but they can get an edge there occasionally, and I think one of those occasions will be this weekend when Georgia comes calling. I just think this is ripe for an upset. It's 6 o'clock, I believe, the start for Georgia and Vanderbilt on Fox Sports Net, if you get that on your cable provider. And I just like Vanderbilt in this upset. That is my upset of the week.
I like Arizona State going into Eugene and pulling the upset. I think Oregon will struggle without Michael James, and I really think that Arizona State's starting to get everything coming together. That victory over USC a couple weeks ago, I think, really helped get their confidence back. And I think Arizona State's an underrated team. I think we'll see Arizona State play well and eventually win the Pac-12 South.
Really?
I think they're playing. I mean, who else are you going to? It's who else is going to win the Pac-12?
I know South? It. Arizona.
USC's ineligible. UCLA's in the dump.
Yep.
Utah has struggled. They've lost to Washington and USC.
Yeah, I believe they're 0-2.
Colorado is a joke.
Yeah.
They're going to get destroyed by Stanford. And Arizona is struggling, and they just fired their head coach. So by default, you have to say Arizona State is going to win the Pac-12 South, and I think they go into Eugene and get business done.
It's really sad, too, in a way, that Stanford and Oregon are in the same division, because those two are by far the best two teams in the conference, but they'll be playing like Alabama and LSU. It's really a carbon copy over there as far as the divisional alignment. You have nobody in the South but Stanford and Oregon in the North, and they will be playing off to see who goes to the championship game. And likewise, in the SEC, we'll have Alabama and LSU in the West playing whoever can survive the East.
I agree 100%, buddy.
Yep. Well, David, great stuff as always. Hope you have a nice weekend. You'll be hosting the Friday night show tonight on WJOX. Does it start at 8:30 Central?
We start at 8 Central. We start at 8
Central.
And we're also, John Tabor and I are also hosting the post-game show for the Alabama game tomorrow, starting hopefully around 10 o'clock, barring an overtime game or just a drag-on game. So hopefully we'll be able to go on the air tomorrow at 10 o'clock for the Jocks Game Day Final Show.
That's 10 o'clock Central Time, around that time tomorrow after the Alabama and Ole Miss game concludes. And tonight at 8 Central, you can listen to him on WJOX 94.5 if you're in the Birmingham area, or jocksfm.com if you're outside of that. David, great stuff as always. Have a great weekend, man.
Thank you very much.
And I hope everyone out there has a tremendous weekend and enjoys the games. A lot of top 25 matchups to be played, and we hope you have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday.